the American people who are an integral part of the criminal justice system, at the end of the day, they're probably the most important part. Why? Because they act as gatekeepers and bulwarks against prosecutorial overreach, abuse, and misconduct.
Welcome to this IBA Global Insight podcast. During US President Donald Trump's second term, concerns have been raised about the relationship between the president and the country's Department of Justice. Critics have alleged that the DOJ, which, while a government department, is meant to maintain independence in the administration of justice, has become politicized and weaponized by the Trump administration, pointing to the department's moves to take action against those who have opposed President Trump in the past, disputed investigations into widespread voter fraud, and a now blocked anti-weaponization fund of nearly $1.8 billion, which was to provide compensation to those considered to be victims of unfair legal action by the previous government and feared to be open to abuse. The DOJ has experienced significant changes in recent months, with former Attorney General Pam Bondi ousted from the role under pressure over her handling of the Epstein files and a lack of progress with prosecutions. She was replaced by the Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, who represented Donald Trump personally in a previous case. Here's Todd Blanche at his first press conference as acting Attorney General.
When I'm asked questions or when I see reporting about shock and awe at this supposed weaponization of this Department of Justice, it means nothing to me because it's completely false. What we're doing and what we've been doing for the past 14 months is changing this department. We're no longer, people say the president wants to go after his political enemies. No, the president has said time and time again that he wants justice.
Gene Rossi, a former federal prosecutor and now a shareholder at law firm Carlton Fields in Washington, D.C., speaking before Blanche became acting AG, commented on what strikes him as most alarming and unprecedented about the relationship between the president and the DOJ.
Before Donald Trump took office in his second term, there had been a historical wall, figurative, of course, between the White House and the Department of Justice. Even though it's a federal agency and the president can appoint the attorney general, every president that I'm familiar with always had some separation between the workings of the White House, the political urges and predilections and biases, and the functioning of the Department of Justice. I think the only president before Trump who came close to chiseling through that wall was Richard Nixon, because he had John Mitchell as the attorney general, and John Mitchell was his campaign manager in 1972. So the wall took a lot of chiseled hits in 72 and under Nixon, but nothing compared to today. And the reason I say that is, this is the first time in history that I'm aware of where the top two officials of the Department of Justice, the Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General, are the personal criminal defense attorneys of Donald Trump. So there is a conflict there, I think, on its face, because those attorneys, AG Bondi and Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, they have confidential and attorney-client privileged information that could possibly affect their judgment on cases that affect the president, current and future. But no president has ever had such a close tie to the top two officials in the Justice Department. And it's just alarming to me, the synergy between the White House and the Department of Justice.
President Trump called for the prosecution of political rivals such as New York Attorney General Letitia James, whose office successfully brought a civil fraud case against the Trump Organization, and former FBI Director James Comey, who refused to halt the Bureau's investigation into Russian interference in Trump's 2016 election win. Here's Donald Trump on Letitia James in 2025.
She's a horrible, horrible human being. And I think she's a total crook. There's no question about it, but that's just my opinion.
Letitia James's indictment was dismissed while Comey's prosecution continues. Richard Painter, associate counsel to the president and chief White House ethics lawyer under President George W. Bush, underlines the importance of safeguarding the DOJ's independence.
This is a type of politicization of the Justice Department that all prosecutors, including the Attorney General, are ethically obligated to resist. There certainly should be hearings in the U.S. House and the Senate addressing the extent of the president's control over the Justice Department and the importance of independence in the prosecutorial function. And these hearings should be conducted in a bipartisan manner. We should return to the approach we had in the 1970s, where during the Ford and the Carter administration, Republican and Democratic administrations, there was agreement that the Justice Department needs to be politically independent in its prosecutorial decisions. The role of the independent prosecutor is absolutely critical, particularly prosecutors appointed according to the Justice Department's independent counsel regulations. And that's what should have been done in all of these politically charged cases. If there was a belief that there might be a case that could be brought against James Comey or Letitia James or anyone else who is a political enemy of the president, an independent counsel should have been appointed pursuant to the regulations and not just have somebody who is installed by the president turning around and prosecuting the president's political enemies. I want to emphasize how critically important it is that prosecutors in a representative democracy not allow the prosecutorial function to be turned into a political weapon. This is the type of thing that happens in Putin's Russia or in other countries that are not democracies. And it's very, very important that lawyers stand firm by the notion that there must be an independent Department of Justice prosecutorial function, whether or not the Justice Department in the constitutional structure is under the control of the president under Article 2. Professional ethics is an extremely important counterweight. The tradition of the Justice Department of political independence is critically important, and those values need to be defended at this very difficult time in our history.
Glenn Kirshner, a former DOJ prosecutor with 30 years of trial experience based in Washington, D.C., discusses the role of the federal judiciary and the American public itself as a bulwark to protect the rule of law.
I talk a lot about the Trump-induced darkness on the legal landscape, but I also try to focus every day on the points of light, you know, realistic points of light, reasons to be not just hopeful, but optimistic. And if you look at the federal judiciary as a whole, and anytime I say anything complimentary of the federal judiciary, the first thing people say is, yeah, but Glenn, the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court. I know, and I'm with you, and we can talk a lot about but the Supreme Court and whether there are any feasible fixes to what we're experiencing. But look at the federal judiciary as a whole. You have judge after judge after judge ruling against Donald Trump and his administration. You have judges appointed by President Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush and Donald Trump himself, a full dozen, actually a baker's dozen. I think we may have had one more Trump appointed judge rule against Donald Trump and his administration. And they are standing up and speaking out and staying strong in the only ways federal judges can in their rulings and their opinions. And let me just use two examples. Karen Immergut, who is a federal judge litigating the Trump's attempt to deploy soldiers and federalized National Guard troops to the streets of Portland, Oregon. She held a hearing where both sides, the Trump administration and the petitioners in the case, had a full opportunity to present evidence and make arguments. And she found that Donald Trump and his administration's assertions about what was going on in Portland are, quote, untethered to the facts of what's actually going on in Portland. If that's not a Trump-appointed judge standing up, staying strong, and speaking out in the only way she is able through her written opinions, I don't know what is. The other one that so impresses me is on the first day, January 20th, 2025, his first day returning to office, Donald Trump, at least figuratively, if not literally, picked up a black Sharpie and tried to cross out of the Constitution the guarantee of birthright citizenship. 3 days later, on January 23rd, a Ronald Reagan-appointed judge, extremely highly regarded, John Coffenauer, on the bench for more than 40 years, said what Donald Trump just did in that executive order, trying to cancel a constitutional guarantee, is, quote, blatantly unconstitutional. And he asked the rhetorical question, where were the lawyers in the room when the president did this? What gives me hope is that more than 100 judges at this point have ruled against Trump or his administration, including those numbers that I related about Republican-appointed judges and Trump-appointed judges. Courts of appeal, similarly, are holding strong, and they will continue to do so. The American people, who are an integral part of the criminal justice system, at the end of the day, they're probably the most important part. Why? Because they act as gatekeepers and bulwarks against prosecutorial overreach, abuse, and misconduct. We have seen grand juries in my former backyard, professional backyard, still my backyard given where I live. We've seen grand juries in case after case tell DC U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro, no, we will not indict cases that are not supported by the evidence. If you throw a sandwich at a police officer out of frustration because the streets of your city have been militarized, that is a crime. Let's be clear. It's a battery, which is a form of assault. It's an unlawful touching, albeit by a sandwich, not a hand. It's still a battery, but it's a misdemeanor. It's not an 8-year felony offense. And that's one example of Jeanine Pirro's overreach and the grand jurors acting as the conscience of the community said, oh, heck no. You will not get by us. Similarly, trial juries are doing the same thing.
Gene Rossi suggests ways in which Congress might legislate to create a stronger level of independence for the DOJ.
I can give you one good example of how the Justice Department could be made more insulated from political pressure. The tax division, where I worked for about 11 years, has been eliminated. The tax division. It did civil and criminal tax cases. And it was established, I think, in 1934 under FDR. It was eliminated by Trump. They said it was part of the DOJ, the efficiency initiative, getting rid of fat, waste, and fraud and abuse. And evidently, the attorneys that are left, they're being assimilated by other parts of the department. What Congress could do is pass a law saying we want a tax division again. We want a tax division for one reason. When you have a tax division that prosecutes civil and criminal cases, the opportunity for political retribution, political influence, political favoritism, whether to bring charges or dismiss charges, that will be mitigated. It will be avoided if you have a tax division that is a wall, if you will, between the White House and political pressure. So that's one thing Congress does, is bring back the tax division. Another thing is this, have an inspector general in an office of ethics that has some teeth. Congress could pass a law that says every department, especially Department of Justice, has to have a fulsome inspector general's office and a fulsome office of ethics within the Department of Justice. My understanding is this, that both the IG's office and the Office of Ethics, they have been somehow restructured so they don't have their same full force and effect and influence that they otherwise would do.